You have tuned in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in what God has planned for my life, for your life, for today. God, do you know, and I know many of us know that some preaching to the choir, that God has planned out this day for your life, for my life. So we don't have to go stumbling and bumbling. All we need to do is to find the plans of God for your life when? Today. And walk in it. Do the plans of God. Now, here when we rejoice, when we are doing the plans of God for our life, then joy come, peace come, satisfaction come, because we are in the full purpose of our life or being. No wonder Rick Warren write that book, you know, Purpose-Driven Life, 40 Days of Purpose. And he was driving home that we got to live life on purpose. We got to live life on purpose. Not just, oh, it's another day. It's another Thursday. This is a special Thursday. God has a plan on this Thursday for your life and for my life.
Jesus lived his life on purpose. The reality of the resurrection, it was purposeful. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 yes. tells us, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and this death spread to all man because all sinned. So Jesus Christ, he came then to bring life unto us all. Where death came through Adam, life came through the second Adam of Jesus Christ. So he came on purpose, purposeful. Yes. Life came through him purposefully. In order, the Bible says that the ransom, through the shedding of his blood, it was the ransom for us now to be free from every hostage situation of the enemy and be in right standing with God. His blood was the ransom. His blood was the atonement. His blood was the penalty paid in full for Adam's sin and each and every one of our sins. So through Jesus now, the reality of the resurrection, we are no longer in contention with God. We are all on the same team with God.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? One man, sin entered, the first man, Adam. So through Adam, all have sinned. Romans tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, through the second man, Adam, which is Jesus Christ, all are made alive. Hallelujah. So that's why Paul says, we must first believe the gospel. We must believe the gospel, the revelation of the word of God by scripture. And what's the gospel? The scripture. He says, I come to know this, Diane, by scripture. I come to understand this. How? By scripture. It wasn't taught to me by flesh and blood, by men. But it was taught to me by the word of God, the scripture. I believe this by what? Scripture. Everything about my faith is by what? Scripture. What I believe is by scripture. Not by what somebody says, but by what the word of God says. For all of sin, that include me. By scripture. I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that by scripture. And I'm saved because the scripture says that. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall have eternal life, is not condemned, but will have eternal life by scripture. So when I have what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I'm living and standing firm in that truth, in that revelation, in that understanding that I once was a sinner. handed down to me by the first man, Adam, but it was broken by the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ. When he died for who? Me, my sin. When he raised again, he raised to give me a brand new life. So I have this brand new life. This is why we say you must be what? Born again. All right? You must be made anew. How do we do that? It is through Jesus Christ.
Saul gives his account in Acts chapter 9 of his conversion when he had this experience with Jesus Christ, when he experienced the reality of the resurrection power. So going back to Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So he was going and he was doing what he thought to do. Saul was going to do what he thought was the right thing based off of the knowledge that he had at that time, the information that he had at the time. He was going to do what he thought was best, which was to destroy anybody who was following Jesus Christ. He was trained up in religion. He was trained up by the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law. He knew all these things. He was of the right lineage, but he was deceived. He was deceived by the religion. The religion was deception to him. So now, in due season, while he's going, carrying out his own agenda, Jesus shows up and tells him what his agenda is for his life. And when people came, when Ananias say, look, I don't want to go pray for him, telling God, you know, when God sent him to go pray for Saul, and I say, no, I've heard about him. I don't want to go pray for him. And the Lord said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine. Even in the midst of his mess, he's a chosen vessel of mine. There's an assignment on his life to go and to preach the gospel to a specific group of people. He is ordained by me. He is chosen by me. So he had to tell Ananias, don't go by what it looks like. If I'm asking you to do something, do it in obedience, knowing that you are part of the greater plan. Because when Ananias did come to Saul and he prayed for him, it said that the scales fell off Saul's eyes. The scales that were there, the religious scales that were caked on his eyes, that was keeping him from seeing the reality of the resurrection, they were released. And when he has this encounter here with Jesus and he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Those are spikes, things that they use to steer the animals to keep them on the path that they should go. So if the animal started going too much to the left, they would hit it with the prick in order to poke it to get it back on course. So we can't kick against God's direction for our life, because those pricks are to bring us back on the course. And if we willfully turn our foot to kick against the goad, to kick against the prick, the only person we're hurting is ourselves. The only foot we're tearing up is our own. The path is already there. So the reality of the resurrection through the power of God, knowing who he is, that his desire for us is good, that he has a purpose, a future, and a hope for each and every one of us, that should be our guiding light, moving us from where we are to where we are going through the reality of the resurrection, knowing that there is nothing that is impossible, because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in each and every one of us to bring life to every situation that appears dead.
So we can celebrate all month, mm-hmm. not only on Sunday that passed. We can celebrate all month the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The assurance that as Christ is risen from the dead, so are going to be us. We will. You remember the encounter, Diane, that Jesus had with Martha when Lazarus died? And Jesus says, Lazarus sleep. Martha says, no, he's not. He's dead. He's in this grave 3 days. He stink. He ain't sleeping. Jesus says, he shall rise. He say, yeah, oh yeah. In the what? In the resurrection. He will rise in the resurrection. Not now. Because Christ didn't what? Christ didn't what?
Die yet.
That's it what Paul is saying. Without the resurrection, your faith is futile. Mm-hmm. It's all in vain. So that's why she says, yeah, in the resurrection, yes, of course. But not now. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection.
Okay. This is in John chapter 11, verse 25.
Yeah, I am. Go ahead.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Yes. That's my faith. That's your faith out there in Radio Land this morning. That's my faith. That's your faith out there. Read that one more time, because that's the faith of the Christian believer. Set us apart from all other religion.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
That's the question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? That is the hope. That is the power. That is what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel. This is what he preached. He says, I teach nothing but the gospel. I am telling you the gospel. This is it. I'm telling you of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. The last of all, he was seen by me also, yes, as one born out of due time. He received the revelation of that. So that question, do you believe this? Yes. Paul's answer is yes.
Yes, I believe it. Yes.
Why does he believe it? Because of the reality of the resurrection, because of his experience, then backed up by the study of the word with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being there to minister the scriptures back to him, because every opportunity that Paul had, any time he was brought before judges, he was brought before kings, he would go back to that tangible moment in time. It was me. I was on the way to go do no good.
Good. Yeah.
And I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that was his part. That was his new beginning. That was his starting mark, his new beginning that he always went back to. He said that it was him.
It was I, Paul.
It was I. It wasn't somebody that told me their situation. It was me.
Yeah.
It was my part.
And you know, I was the Pharisees of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. I studied more than anyone. I'm more zealous than any Jew. It was me, Paul.
Want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle Church. We meet Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 1010 Dixon Boulevard.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.
There's a fire.